Go.
Yo, what's up, guys? Ash Cash, the financial motivator, and you are now tuned in to the Blowing Bubbles podcast. Guess what, y'all? Stay popping. Let's go.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Come on in. Join us live. You are in for a treat. Get ready for one powerful episode. I already know it's going to be amazing. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm going to give everybody a minute to get in here. Sister Lorraine, can you share the live to your page?
I think
everybody
I did.
Everybody who's there, if you're on YouTube, if you are on Facebook, share, share, share. And if you are watching on Facebook, and you would like to interact with our guest today, you have to go to StreamYard.com and just give them permission to access your Facebook comments. Otherwise, I won't be able to see your comments. I will not know you're there. I want to know you're there. Lorraine wants to know you're here. We want to engage. She is ready. She is open. We are going to get to it. This is going to be a good, good, good episode. I am so excited to have my sister in the building. Man, let me tell you, hold on 1 second, y'all. Listen, I got a space heater on. I was cold 3 seconds ago, and now I'm hot. I think the thing is happening to me, y'all.
Hot flashes, honey.
Oh, I had to turn that heater off. I got hot real quick. Oh, man, I am so excited. Where are my TLA folks? So I have to do this and go onto my phone also. And
yeah.
Log in so I can also be part of the live. Yes, 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 yes. We're going to share, we're going to share, we're going to share.
I hope mine went through. Let me see what's going on with it. Let's see. Absolutely.
What's up? What's up? What's up? Welcome. I see people joining. Say hello in the comments. I want to know you are there. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello. Hello.
Okay. All right. All right. So I am not going to belabor this thing because I'm excited.
Right.
I'm ready to get to it. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. How are you doing, Queen?
I am wonderfully, marvelously blessed. And how are you?
I am fantastic. Today was a very good day. It was very busy. Hello, Deborah Brown. Today was a very busy day. As usual, I'm busy all the time. But it was amazing. I've had a very busy week. Yesterday, I flew to Florida and drove back.
Oh, wow.
Well, yesterday. So I'm still a little tired today, but man, it was amazing. It was amazing.
I definitely appreciate you for having me on your show.
Absolutely. I appreciate you being here. Oh, my goodness. We are affiliated through a group that we are both a part of. Hey, John Mallory.
Yes,
TLA sister. Shout out to Tina Bridges for her amazing vision. Tina has a new show she just launched, and they had her inaugural episode tonight. Sorry, I was not able to be there.
Congratulations. Yes.
Man, she is so awesome and inspiring to me. She's made a major impact in my life, and that's how we connected.
Yeah,
the Lingale Agency. It is an organization.
That's right.
Models over 40 years old. We are actors, models, comedians, singers, writers.
That's right.
Everything you can imagine. Tina is managing amazing group of people.
And one thing
I want to introduce. Go ahead.
I was about to say one thing about Tina. She loves to see her people grow.
Yes. Yes, she does.
Yes, she does.
So But I want to get into this introduction. I am so, so, so honored to have you here. My sister, Lorraine Tramell. She is an actress, a model, a published photographer, y'all. Not just taking pictures. She is a published photographer, a three-time author, mother, grandmother with three beautiful grandbabies, one whose birthday is today. So yeah. I am are here with me on his birthday. She is a mental health advocate. She retired after 32 incredible years with Primerica and owner of 5L Productions and Consulting LLC. Welcome to the Blowing Bubbles podcast, Lorraine.
Thank you so much for having me. This is such an honor. Thank you.
Oh, man. So how was your day? How's the week been? I haven't seen you in a few weeks. How you been?
Blessed. One day at a time, one day at a time. And I just take it one day at a time and try to be an inspiration wherever I go every day. So.
You are. Your light shines, man. It's in your presence. Thank you. It's palpable. You can definitely feel your energy and your glow is something that is needed more in this world. I want to get to it. First of all, I only have one of the three books. Powerful Faith While Conquering Principalities, Recognizing the Power of God. Let me tell you something.
I have the other two. One is Walking in Faith During a Storm, and the other one is Life, Love, and Lockup. Volume 3.
I knew it was intriguing. Life, Love, and Lockup. Uh-oh, wait a minute. What's that one about?
Appointed Angel. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Is it what it sounds like?
That's a collaboration with 13 more women on this book right here. And we're all telling our testimonies. And you think you're going through something and you read other people's testimonies, it will blow your mind. And you think your situation is heavy, they have even heavier assignments on their lives. So it's just amazing to me how God used each and every one of us in a different way. So it gave me a whole different aspect and outlook on what I was dealing with.
Nice. Yeah. Facebook, thank you all. There's so many people who've joined on. Tommy Holland, Tanya Lewis, Rick Ellerby. Thank you. We're going to get into it. I might miss some people who jump on, but just know we appreciate you being here. Lorraine is open to asking questions, so do not shy away. Ask questions. We want this to be fully interactive. She has a mission on her heart to help people grow, learn, survive, and thrive.
Yes.
Anything that they deal with. So we're going to get in. All right. So tell me, how many children do you have?
I have three beautiful children, and one just passed away in February. He was 30 when he passed. He passed 2 days after his 30th birthday. He was struck by a CSX train. He dealt with schizophrenia. And basically, that's what my book, Powerful Faith While Conquering Principalities, is about. It helps and give out information to other families and provide information on tools and resources to help assist families that are dealing with a loved one that's experiencing mental health circumstances.
Your son passed this year.
Yes.
Struck by a train.
Tragic, okay. tragic death.
We got right into it, y'all. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So you said he was having a schizophrenic episode, which led to.
Yes. He had a moment. He had several encounters. You know, every day is a different day when you're dealing with the mental health arena. Anything that any patients are dealing with in that MHD arena, it's a different day and a new day for all of us. But when you're a caregiver, you just never know what to expect. That is so heavy on people. You know, it's such a heavy and overwhelming assignment for you to care for a loved one that's dealing with that. So he encounters happen. You just never know when an encounter is going to happen. So yes, he was dealing with an encounter that day. It's just a remarkable way that I found out through Christ. You know, you have to be a believer in Christ in order to even deal with something of that nature. It was so heavy on me. So
and
it was overwhelming.
Was he driving? Are you able to talk about more detail?
Well, let me give a little bit of how I dealt with him and how his circumstances was. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia. We dealt with that for about 12 years of his life. When he graduated, right at his graduating year of high school, and I didn't see a change in him until maybe 2 years after his graduation, and he went off to college, and that's when he began to act out differently. But because I'm a mother that is in tune with her children, all three of them, I know my children and their personalities. We communicate. We had a bond, a special relationship with all of them, as most parents should have with their children. And I knew something was wrong. So it didn't just happen overnight. I began to see the changes back in 2012 when they were starting to occur. However, it got worse throughout the years. And back in 2019, I had to retire from my job of 32 years with Primerica to become a full-time caregiver for him. The state of Georgia have facilities for young men and women that are dealing with mental health issues. However, that's another story. We can talk about that later. He was a part of that program, though. And the program, when COVID hit, what happened was they advised me that I was no longer able to visit him at the home that I had placed him in. They stated to me that I was an endangerment to the household because the patients that are there, they didn't want to risk them to COVID with outsiders coming in. Mm-hmm. And I was not having that, not being able to see my son, because with those establishments, you can't trust them. You have to be in tune with your loved ones.
Absolutely.
You have to see about them. You cannot leave them there because it's a lot on that establishment. So with that being said, because I was so in tune with my son's life, I prayed about it. I'm a praying woman. And I asked God to show me what it is that you need me to do. What is it that I can do to take care of my son? Well, something happened on my job to where they had a layoff. And I didn't have any control of that. And I had no choice but to accept the retirement packet. And that allowed me to be able to be home full time and pull him from the establishment and bring him home. So the last 4 years of his life, God, no, it was nothing but God that did that. That's to give me that time, yes, with him and have him with me at home. And so with that being said, throughout that 4 year tenure, he had several encounters. His was diagnosed as schizophrenia / chronic depression, which caused him to hear voices, talk to himself, pace a lot, and he was a pacer. I call him a walker, a pacer. But his pacing caused him to walk for miles and miles away from home. But because the voices that he was hearing would not allow him to remember the sense of direction of how to get back home. And these are several encounters that I had throughout the time frame. So that was one of the nights that he drifted away from home and walked so far from where we live. I mean, that was so far from where we live, maybe 10 miles from where we live.
My God.
And he was walking on the train track and he got hit by the train. So that's I kind of skipped a lot of stuff, but I got to the point.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's heavy. And he had He had several other incidents I read in your
book. Ooh, honey, yes. They got to get the book to read about it. They got to get the book to read it. That's what the purpose of the book is, because it was unbelievable. Things were happening. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so many encounters. You have to write that stuff down. It was unbelievable.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
but I do want to talk about one incident that was very, very troubling to me. The Athens, Tennessee Police Department.
Oh, wow.
Your son was in Tennessee.
They got to get the book to read about them. But I only talk about a smidget of it, a smidget. Yeah.
So the highlight of the story, he had wandered off pace. He was pacing and he ended up sleeping. It was cold. He was very scarcely dressed, and he was found by two police officers sleeping in a public place, not causing any harm or disturbance to anyone. Yeah.
Exactly.
Then two police officers called four more police officers who then assaulted this man.
Yeah.
And you get a call that your baby is in ICU.
And that's all we're going to talk about. They got to get the book to read that.
Yeah.
That was such a devastating.
One thing, this story, listen, powerful faith while conquering principalities. Get the book.
And how I overcame that was only through Christ. I promise you that one.
I know that's all it was.
You read it.
I definitely did. I got my stuff highlighted.
Yeah, you read that, honey. And it has the police report in there too.
And then I saw that. And the one thing you said, the police report and the doctor's report did not match.
Well, see, they gotta read about that. I'm a mother. I'm a mother, and God please. Yes. That was so powerful. They got to read that, honey. You have to get the book to read it.
Just about 3 weeks ago, I had an incident where that mother instinct kicks in.
Yes.
On the screen, I got a screen in my car where, hello, Joyce. Hello, Ari. There's people on YouTube chiming in.
Tell them hi.
They can see, they heard you. My the screen in my car will play like a text message or whatever that pops up. And I had just got in my car and I was backing out of my driveway. And my youngest son's name popped up on the screen as a text message. Mm-hmm. And I looked down at my phone, but there was no message on my phone. Mm. And something hit me, something came over me. I said, something is wrong with my child. I said those words, and I've never speak anything over my people. I said something is wrong with my child. So I was going out of town. I went on about my day. I get almost to my destination, was going to a retreat in the middle of nowhere, had zero signal, and then I get a call. My child was laid up in intensive care, had been in a car accident.
Broken neck.
I mean,
let me tell you something.
When you know, if you connect it to your people, I'm telling you, I knew. I didn't know what, but I knew. I said something is wrong with my
child. Let me tell you what that was. That was God. You ever heard of supernatural divine encounters? God was sending a supernatural divine intervention to show you and tell you about your children. That's what happened with me and my son. The same thing you telling me about you and your son, but it's in that book. It was a supernatural divine intervention encounter, and God showed me everything. That's how I was able to deal with it. But you have to have a relationship with God in order to see any of that. Some things on the inside of you, the way the flesh is living, you have to allow that to die. You got to allow the flesh to die, kill the flesh, and live for the Holy Spirit. I'm not perfect, but I allow that to happen with me so that I can be more in tune with God. You have to make that sacrifice and be willing to make a sacrifice from within, deep down within yourself, and cut out certain things in your life and get that relationship with God. And I promise you, He will show you everything it is you need to see. Yes, you still had to go through the fact of knowing that your son was in intensive care with the injuries that he have. Yes, I had to go through the fact that my son dealt with and was diagnosed with mental health issues like schizophrenia, but I had to learn to trust the process and go on through with it in order for God to use me. And I pray for God to continue to endure me with the strength that I needed to go on a daily basis to help this young man. So
yes,
it's real, honey. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, your other children, how have they been coping with the loss of their brother?
Oh, it's hard. It's hard, but I didn't even know I was going to tear up like this, but I thank God. I thank God that they're feeding from my energy. Mm-hmm. I don't cry around them much, but if I have to, I will, but I haven't had to, but they feed from my energy because they think mom is superwoman. And I let them know your mom is strong, but if I have a moment where I need to cry, baby, I'm going to let it out. And I do.
Absolutely.
And I let them know that. Because they have to know to share your emotions so that stuff won't stay on the inside of you and it'll make you sick. But right now, it's just the peace that surpasses all understanding that I have because God gave it to me. Only God can give a person that inner peace that surpasses all understanding. But let me tell you something. It don't come lightly and it doesn't come easily. You have to earn that from God. I earned it because I did what I was supposed to do. I followed the voices of God. I followed His instructions on my life. I allowed Him to direct me, to guide me. And not only that, I heard His voice throughout meditation. See, these are things we have to learn to do spiritually. You have to learn to listen to God. Sit still sometimes. Yes, you want to do a lot. We can do a lot. We are so strong-minded people, you know, the strong ones that want to get out there and willing to learn and do this, that, or the other. But sometimes you have to sit still and you have to listen to God and allow God to direct your path and show you the way. Only the believers in Christ will understand what I'm saying, because you have non-believers as well. And I don't push my God off on nobody. I just live my life, walk right, live right, and try to do right. I'm not perfect because I will have moments, but because I listened to God and I allowed God to come into my heart and life as my personal savior, He directed me and guided me through what to do with my son. So that's why I'm able to talk now. And the peace that I have, that is the strength that God has given me. I didn't do it alone. It's only through Christ. And that is why my children are able to feed from me. They applaud me of how we put my son away. Like, oh, my mama was tough. My mama did that. Yeah, your mama was tough, but your mama was weak too. But she had to stand strong and get it done because nobody else was going to do it.
Yes. And I mean, it hasn't even been a year. It's been about 9 months.
No, since February. Yes, 9 months, going into the 9th month.
And are you, did you seek counseling, like the professional clinical counseling, or you are just solely relying
at what
on
point?
Your family?
At what point? Tell me about after, when you asked that question.
After his passing.
No, I didn't have time to seek counseling. Life had to go on and keep on moving. And my counseling was from God, to be honest with you. I always say this when I do different talk shows. Coming up in my era, we didn't believe in that. However, now I do, because when I went through going through a divorce, my book called Walking in Faith During a Storm, it allowed me to seek help for my children. So I sought out the help for them to speak with a therapist, but I still didn't get the help because I did not believe in it because of the way I was raised. But God was doing a new work on me, if that makes any sense. I didn't believe in it for me, but I believed in it for my children. God was showing me a new thing. These children need some help. You already grown. You already going through this. And I felt that, like, if I went to therapy, she's going to need a couch to lay on by the time I get finished with her, the therapist. So I just turned everything over to God. And I trusted in God. I was like, honey, I got so much on me, honey. I don't want to hurt this lady. She might have a college degree, but just because you have a college degree, you got to be able to tackle all these different chemistry.
You got to still have experience to help people through things. Yes.
So I was like, no, can't nobody help me but Jesus right now. And I took it to God, and I didn't trust talking and sharing my inner, you know, thoughts with people. So I took it to God. But the children, I had to do something to help the children. So don't be so naive, Lorraine. Go ahead and try a therapist. It's at your church, and the therapist, you know, the church automatically did it for the children because I was a member. So I didn't have to pay for it. And I trusted the therapist at the time. And she was excellent with them. But again, she used to tell me, make your appointments. I said, honey, you're going to need another couch to lay on while you're talking to me. You're gonna need a couch. So I didn't get it for myself. God brought me through it all. Through it all. You know that song coming up in church? Through it all. Yes. God brought me through.
A lot of people can't even see their way to the light of God going through something that can be so painful.
I feel sorry for them. I pray that they have a higher source of power and authority to know to turn to Jesus. You know, in this lifetime, as much as we Christians talk about or spiritual people talk about God, you just pray and hope that they receive a word. You can't take on that luggage that everybody else is carrying. You can only hope and pray that they receive a word. And what I can say to that is that to allow your light to shine wherever you go, because you never know who may need a word. If you allow your light to shine, and because they don't know what to do or what they're going through, God will send somebody for them. But a person has to want help. You can preach all day long to a person, but if they don't want help or want to receive Jesus, it's not the baggage for you to take. It's just for you to plant a seed, I would say. And if they receive it, they receive it. If they don't, they don't. Had I allowed everybody else's baggage to come my way, I wouldn't have been able to maintain and see what was going on within my son. God gave me a beautiful gift to be able to have a discerning spirit of the encounters that he was having. You know, spirits are real. And I had to tackle some spirits and cover my house and cover my whole household and keep myself covered. And you yourself, we met in the industry under a modeling agency, and that industry, everyone is not saved. They may know Jesus, but that doesn't mean that they are walking the walk that God chose for them. A lot of people are walking the walk that the flesh choose to walk, that they want to walk because they're grown. However, you have to have a special light on you, shining on you, in order to even deal with that. So to answer your question, what do you tell a person? You just let your light shine and make sure that you are vigilant and wise to know when that person come across you, what are you going to tell them? What message are you going to give to that person that day to deal with whatever they're going through? You just got to walk that walk, honey, and mention God. You ain't got to preach to them, but you got to have a compassionate heart.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are some of the things that you do as a mental health advocate?
I do events. When I go to a lot of events in networking, you know, you networking and you letting people know that you're an advocate. And when they ask me to speak at their church or wherever I may speak, I talk about my experience, my own self experience, you know, and I let them know that prayer is on the top of my list. But how you handle your encounters with your loved ones as far as mental health, it just depends, because everybody's mental health is different. Some are violent. My son was not violent or anything, and I was so blessed with that. I was so blessed. Yes. It's like a story in the Bible. I'm not a Bible scholar, but I know about the word in the book of God. There's a story in there that's talk about the sheep heard the shepherd's voice. Well, my son always heard my voice, and he knew my voice. And you have to give them what, you know, give your child respect, and they'll give it back to you. You respect them, they're going to respect you, but still be a parent. But he always heard my voice. So that's what I do. I do a lot of advocating wherever I go. I tell my story and I spread the word of the gospel. And God is using me now through the camera. You know, the camera is my therapy. I love taking pictures, and I love going to the events to take pictures. And that's how you get sought out. Your whole chemistry, your whole demeanor of how you act, your character is going to show up in you wherever you go. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I do now in the industry. I do a lot as far as in the entertainment business. I go out and I network, and I get sought out for and asked to speak at different events. So yes, inspiring one
another. Very needed. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's a lot of people. A lot of people in the industry deal with mental health challenges. There's a lot of people who they take their own lives when other people think that they have everything in the palm of their hand, and they're so sad.
Yeah.
And there's sometimes it's a chemical imbalance. Sometimes it's genetic. Do you happen to know, was there a genetic component present with your son?
Well, when they diagnosed him, he did have a chemical imbalance, but it did not lead back to me or his father. It's just something that happened. I believe he was as a child, he was diagnosed with ADHD. Now, this is the parents, because I know my child. And then when he went off to college, he began to experience, you know, drinking or smoking. So it could have been one or the other that knocked off his chemical imbalance, because that's what he was diagnosed with. And as a single parent, you can't keep up with your children 24 hours a day, because I had to work. So therefore, you know, some things I tell my other two children, some things you bring on yourself. And you have to be careful of what you're doing and accepting from people. All smoke that people offer you, everything free, is not good for you. All drinks that they offer you, everything free, is not good for you.
Okay, one way or the other.
If you're thinking you're trusting that person because they're your friend, a lot of times they can be jealous of you because you're well kept and you look good. And they're thinking of ways to do damage to you, but not to say that that's what happened. But his chemical imbalance was thrown off. It had to have been during high school, because it happened right after high school time frame.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Wow. And have you learned of resources that you can share if other parents are out there trying to be that caregiver and support their
children? That's what I was doing that night when you met. Well, you saw me at the, I do a lot of vending, and because I do a lot of vending, I have the information. My son belonged to a program, and the program provided the doctor, the nurses, the therapists, everything that he needed, transportation. They pick him up. It was like an adult daycare. So I provide the resources for them to go to be able to go to, because a lot of people don't know how to get help when they're dealing with a loved one. It's resources and help out there for them to get them transportation, to get them Medicaid, to get them their therapies and the doctors, to get them their medications. All of that, they provide all of that, but you have to belong to a program. They have programs out there. I have all that information. I give that out at my vending table, and that's what I love to do. I do a lot of vending at health resources events. You know, I go out and pass out literature, and a lot of times you can't sell the book, but I have the book out there advertising it, and they can go out on Amazon and get the book. But you go to these events, these health fairs for DeKalb County, Fulton County, Gwinnett County, they have health fairs, and I'm there passing out my literature. I have it, and it was on my table that night. Yeah. Okay. And that's what God is using me for, because again, as I stated, a lot of people don't know how to deal with it, and a lot of families are dealing with it in silence. And a lot of the encounters that I encounter with my son were so embarrassing, people don't want to talk about it. And I understand.
And there's a big movement right now called Silence the Shame. Mm-hmm. We don't want the stigma of embarrassment to be attached with mental health.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that a person does wrong to have this condition.
Easier said than done. Because
there's a lot of advocacy going on to help people to dismiss that shame.
It's when I was dealing with it 12 years ago, it wasn't. I felt like I was left alone. Now what I do, I break the awareness to let people know the stigma that's for mental health, to help break that. But again, it was not as televised or talked about 12 years ago. I promise you that, because I didn't know what to do. Nobody was talking about it.
It's real new.
Yeah. And I had some embarrassing moments. I'm just being real and honest. I was too embarrassed to deal with it. Sometimes it was so heavy on me. I can't even begin to tell you some of the things that occurred. And I'll take that to my grave with me. But again, no one helped me but God. No one. My family looked like the perfect family. Ain't nothing wrong. Half the people were like, I didn't know he was going through that. What, I supposed to go out there and preach about it or something? But I spoke about it everywhere I went. That's how the birth of the books came out of me, by talking about it and putting it in the book so people can read about it. Read about it, and this will help you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And are you able to share any of the names of the programs here tonight with the audience, some of the things that people may be able to search out, the names of the daycare program?
Well, I don't have a direct number, but there is a program called the ACT program, and that program, you sign up with that one actually through the hospital. When they take you to the emergency, you go through the emergency room to be diagnosed, and the hospitals will only keep you up to 14 days. Sometimes if your observance is worser, they may keep you maybe 3 weeks. However, they'll place you on a program called ACT at the hospital, and they will assign you a caseworker. Now, depending on if that person is receiving any type of disability, if you're receiving disability, they have a different program, and that one is called under Renaissance. Now, that program will actually give you your therapy, Medicaid, make sure that you get your shots, and provide the transportation, and get them set up with the food stamps and things of that nature. Also, it depends on their state of mindset, that they'll help them with living quarters as well. But it depends on who's the caregiver or the payee of their disability. So it's different levels to it. And those are the programs that I actually know of that will assist them. Those are the programs that I pass out the literature in reference for to people to receive help from. because they don't know where to go.
Okay, the ACT program, the ACT program, and the Renaissance program.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The ACT program is through, you have to get on that when they go to the emergency room, when the hospital, when they go to emergency and they've been checked in, asked about the ACT program. Can they sign them up? It's easier that way to go through the hospital. That way you can get the help. Yeah, they will assign a social worker, caseworker, somewhere that they can place them. Even if they're taking their medications properly, when they leave there, they can set them up in a, you know, if you have your 501c3, a lot of people have the homes, like your home have a 4 or 5 bedroom home. Mm-hmm. I'm just utilizing this as a scenario, as an example. And they have those patients there, they will allow your loved one to live there. But those are the programs you have to really keep visiting, because I was visiting my son. That's where my son was, in one of those facilities, in one of those 501c3s. They want them to feel as self-sufficient as much as possible. Yeah. And they teach them that, but they have an overseer there to see about them. But all of those overseers are not trustworthy. So again, they have those programs. That's what the ACT program will set you up with, all of that. And then the Renaissance program is more so for your medical attention and your needs for, they'll set them up with Goodwill and things of that nature to get. And those that can work now, they'll even help them go to school. They'll help them get a little job. But, you know, those are the programs they would like want to be in. Mm-hmm. Nice. And it depends on the state of mindset that the person, what they're dealing with, whatever their mental behavior circumstance is, they'll be evaluated through that. Everyone is different.
Yes. Now, do you know of a national resource, like a hotline or anything that helps people?
I do. I had the suicide hotline. Yes, I had that number under my page, but I don't have it on me.
It's 988.
Yes, the suicide hotline number. And that's what I used most of the time when he was going through, and the police department. The police department knew me when he was missing. You know, they go missing on you and walk and drift off and can't remember how to get back home. And if you let the, you know, give your description of them, they put the BOLO out on them, be on lookout, and that they know, they had in their system that he was a patient. And I also had a bracelet for him. You get him a bracelet. I ordered bracelets with it on there with my name and phone number and the symbol that he was an MHD patient. I didn't want to put mental health, you know, I put MHD patient on there, his name, my name, and my phone number. And I always encouraged him, keep your bracelet on. If the police stop you, show your bracelet. Show your bracelet. Show your bracelet. You know, you have to tell them every day. So,
Yes. I know in the state of Georgia, on the back of your driver's license, there is a barcode and there is like a QR code. And that QR type code is for medical information. And that would be
a work for me.
When you get your ID, you can still put that in your information just in case. And that's just for any medical condition you might have. I have a lot of food allergies. So if I happen to be out somewhere and I'm having an episode and I can't talk because my throat is closed up on me, and the paramedics get to me and look at, if they scan my license, they will know. Give her an epinephrine shot.
And let me tell you what DeKalb County offered now. And they offered that, like, he died in February. They offered in right at the 1st of February, I had signed up for a tracker, because all this time I was looking for trackers. I asked his doctors to, can they just give me a necklace or some type of tracker to put on him so that I could locate him. A lot of the trackers that I was looking at on Amazon only gave you a certain amount of distance. I needed a tracker that went a long distance, like out of town, or if someone would have, you know, lured him in their car, but no one gave that. Now DeKalb County offer trackers, but you have to ask them for it and let them know that that's a mental health patient, and they offer trackers to however, it's something new. I was like, well, where was this 5 years ago? when I really needed help. But the assignment that God...
Someone would call in the cab. Do you know what department someone could call in the cab?
I wrote it down. I wrote it down. I think it's still on my refrigerator, but I'll have to get that information for you. It was a private line that you go through the private investigators, and they'll connect you and get you that tracker. But it was something new again. I didn't get a chance to get it because he passed away.
Yeah.
He passed away before I could even get that. But it really would have been helpful, and it could be helpful to the next person coming up.
Yes. Wow.
It could be helpful to the next person coming, along the way.
Now, I know that I had an incident, not personally, but a friend of mine called me several months back, and her child was having some kind of episode, and it seemed like it was a mental health crisis, and they were in DeKalb County and trying to find resources. And they were told that if he didn't threaten anybody or he wasn't doing anything, they would not help.
They can't. But it's a special number they can dial now. All of this is new. There's a special number that you can dial. And if he's acting out and having an episode, an encounter is what I call it, an episode and an encounter, you dial that number. It's an emergency number because the police officers, they're not equipped to handle it. But there's an emergency number now that they can give out for DeKalb County that they will come pick them up and take them to the medical at Midway for DeKalb County. It's several of them out there. It's some for DeKalb County, Gwinnett County, as well as Atlanta. And they'll take them to the emergency ward for that. So,
nice. And ladies and gentlemen, we are spread out all over the country in this chat. We got Pennsylvania, we got Maine, we've got Ohio, we have Charleston, South Carolina. We are all over the place, and I can't even see all of the people. We got Florida, Mississippi, Georgia, of course. I think I see DC, Richmond, Virginia. We are all over the place. If you are in this live right now and you know of a mental health resource, please drop it in the chat.
I see some numbers going across the screen too for the hotline.
I put that on there. If you know of anything in your area that might help somebody else in your area, you don't know who's watching this. And please, by all means, share this to your, if you're on Facebook, share this. Share. This is very important. We have my big sister Lorraine here. She lost her son in February. He was having an episode and he was struck and killed by a train. February 22nd, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
This is so important.
He strayed away from home that particular night. They found him. It happened around 2:30 in the morning. So he must have started walking after I went to bed. And, you know, we were supposed to have been asleep. So if you do part two on this, I'll have that information because I didn't even think to have it on me now because, like I said, that conversation of mental health is so widespread. It's so much to talk about. Yeah,
it is. And just maybe two episodes ago, I had the semicolon life. And that was another segment where we addressed some mental health challenges dealing with the depression and, you know, the things that come along with that.
Yeah.
And it is a very, very broad topic. And oftentimes with regard to schizophrenia, it is so misunderstood.
Yes, it is.
So very misunderstood. And then there's different segments or different layers to that. You could be bipolar schizophrenic. You could be manic. You can be, and there's so many different things that go with it. And you can mismanage your medicine, or you can miss taking your medicine.
Yeah.
There are so many different things. And if you don't have any experience, you might just be afraid of this person if you see someone having an episode and you don't understand what they're dealing with. If you see someone who seems like they need help, call pound 988.
Yeah.
Call pound 988. Like you said, the police aren't equipped to deal with it.
Don't call 911.
Don't call pound 988. That is a nationwide hotline. And you can tell them where you are. They will be fully aware of the resources in your area. But there's a lot of people out here who need help. And there are scarce resources. I wish I was more equipped. And part of the thing that I want to be able to do with this Blowing Bubbles podcast platform is to be that resource for people, you know, to educate, enlighten, inform people on what is available. I am fortunate to be spreading out across the country, and there might be somebody who sees this or hears this. People share it with their audiences, and somebody's life can be changed. I'm here for impact.
Yes, absolutely.
So thankful that you are open and sharing your story.
Thank you.
Man, I'm glad, first of all, we've been on here for 50 minutes and I didn't break down crying.
Well, I cried just a tad bit, but I knew I had to get through.
But you did very, very good. I would have lost it.
Thank you.
If you had, like you said, your kids, they feed off of your energy. If you had broke down, I would have been done. They would have been like, okay, y'all, time out.
I tried not to. I had to get out what I had to say, you know. It's very sensitive to me right now. This hadn't even been a year.
It's 9 months in.
Yeah, this young man was my firstborn. And, you know, a mother.
9 years and you allowed to feel what you feel, honey. That is your baby.
That was his assignment. His assignment on earth was to have an impact on lives, and he fulfilled his assignment, and I'm still fulfilling the assignment of what God has placed upon my life. And, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't know if he was going to die first or me. It was so overwhelming at times, you know. It was a heavy load. Oh, it was so, so heavy.
Now, we talked a little bit, well, we talked a lot about resources for a patient. Mm-hmm. Have you gotten any resources for the mothers, the caregivers of a patient who deals with mental health?
No one. People don't reach out to the caregivers, honey. You have to get it the best way you can. I have not received any type of a form of assistance, help, word of encouragement, just from the people that
support groups at all. Oh my goodness.
The only support group that I knew of was it was one support group, but it was I can't remember. Their situation was so depressing at the time. I'm gonna be honest, I couldn't handle it. Their loved ones were so violent, and I honestly didn't know what to tell them how to deal with that, because my son was not violent like that. I wasn't dealing with that. And it was way over my head. And then getting off the phone, dealing with my situation with my son, I really thought that it would help me. It's an international program as well. It's all over the world. You call in and they have people to help you with it. I cannot think of that name, but I stopped calling them. I just could not deal with it. It was too much.
Oh, it was too heavy. Well, maybe that is part of your charge. You create a support group that's more uplifting and enlightening.
Energy
is up here, and people aren't bringing each other down. That might be something.
I receive it. Yeah. I really do. I'm trying to work on a few projects now, but again, you got to find the correct resources and the correct people to assist you with the things that you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And God is opening doors for me.
A resource for you. Anybody out here, I see my sister Danielle was on here. She was the one who was on the Semicolon Life episode a few weeks ago.
Okay.
Maybe you all can collaborate and come from your varying perspectives to.
Yeah, give me her information and then.
Danielle, you on there? Still here, sis? Yes.
Yeah, tell Danielle to connect with me, and I'm under under my IG. I'll give that information, and she can give me her information. And you know, it's all about helping one another and directing one another, and to get out the information so that people can have it. Because a lot of people don't know how to receive it. They don't know which direction to turn in. I was just lost out there because all of it was new to me. I'm looking at him like, ain't nothing wrong with you, but I knew something was wrong because of the special relationship we have. You have to be in tune with your children. And if all that is new on you and it just it seemed like it happened overnight, it takes a minute for you to not be in denial about that. I was in denial for a minute.
Wow. I can see that. I can see that. Wow.
Thank you for those questions. I like it when questions are asked to me spontaneously. That way I can put out the most honest answer that I can give to help someone, because that's the most empowering and inspiring information that you can give a person to uplift them, to know that if God did it for me, he can do it for you, 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 and you, all of those that are listening. Yes, indeed.
Yes. And just so you all know, when I have a guest on the Blowing Bubbles podcast, they don't know what questions I'm going to ask them. There's nothing rehearsed. Everything you see, we experience it together.
Because you don't know my story. That's it. But I just told you just a snippet of it.
Yes, yes, yes. I love that. I like the organic nature that I've curated here. I don't want to be rehearsed and scripted. I definitely appreciate your candor and you. And your time. And tell us the names of your books again. You're gonna hold those books up.
Yes, ma'am.
I have one.
This one is
Powerful
Walking
Faith While Conquering Principalities. And what's the other?
And this one is Walking in Faith During a Storm. This one is how God delivered me from depression. I was going through a divorce back in 2009, but the divorce was final in 2016, and the book was birthed in 2012. So, you know, that this is a whole nother level of something that I dealt with going through. And look at me today with a smile, because at one point in my life, I was not able to smile. Going through a divorce and having to have to raise three children on my own. Oh, my goodness. Look at me now, honey.
Hey.
And then the third book is really like a testimony for me with other authors in this book, about 13 more authors in this book. Is called Life, Love, and Lockup: Appointed Angels. Who is your appointed angel? And this thing right here is so real. It's so real. And curator of this book is Michelle Lovett, and she's doing so many wonderful things. That's my little goddaughter in the industry, and she actually lost her mother, and I lost my mother in 2017. And because we're in the industry, we were working on a play together, and God orchestrated our friendship through talking about our parents, because we were grieving. Mm. And that's the connection that God made with us. God got big jokes sometimes when he's really using you to do a complete an assignment. And we've been close ever since. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, tell the people how they can find you, follow you, support you.
Oh, yes. You can follow me on IG under Powerful 19. That's POWER_FUL19. That's Powerful_19. And just chime on in, send me a message, and get that book. The book is out on Amazon, Power for Faith While Conquering Principalities. It provides information on tools and resources to help assist families that are dealing with a loved one that's experiencing MHD, mental health disorder, behavior circumstances. Get that book. It'll help you. I'm telling you, read those stories. You'll be like, wow, that lady went through that. Yes, I did. Yeah. And all of it's based on true life chronicles, honey.
And on that note, I'm going to blow some bubbles.
Blow the bubbles, honey. Blow them because I'm still surviving. I am still standing.
Thank you for joining us. And everybody out there, thank you all for tuning in. Make sure you go follow Lorraine and get those books. Y'all know how we sign off here.
Well, thank you for having me. Be blessed.
My pleasure. Stay popping.
Yes. Pop, 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 pop some bubbles. Blow the bubbles.
I lost my wand.